Welcome to Westmoreland Community Connections on WHJB. I'm your host, Jennifer Mealy, and we are in the third week of our series on Heart Matters, sponsored by our friends at Independence Health. It's been a great month, really taking a look at all of the procedures, all of the interventions, all of the healing that's being done in Westmoreland County, thanks to our friends at Independence Health. And today, I'm really excited to be joined by Dr. Niraj Shah. He's an interventional cardiologist at Independence Health at the Westmoreland campus. And joining him is Paula Aiello. She is a nurse, a care specialist with the Structural Heart TAVR program. Welcome to you both.
Thanks.
Thank you.
We're so excited to have you on the show today because we're continuing this important education piece during February, which is Heart Awareness Month. It's really important that people be able to be aware and learn about caring for their heart. So I'm going to start with you, Dr. Shah. Tell us about structural heart disease. What is it, and how would you describe it to people?
Yes, absolutely. So structural heart disease broadly refers to any structural problems with the heart chambers, walls, or valves. So basically, it means that either there's a defect in the walls of the heart leading to abnormal connections between the heart chambers, or there's a damage to the heart valves that either do not open properly or they don't close properly, leading to either narrowing or leaking of the heart valves.
And Paula, do you see, how do patients get to you when they have this structural heart disease? What is the role of your heart clinic in helping them?
Absolutely. So we get referrals in all kinds of different ways, but often the most common is that they have an echocardiogram, which shows a potential structural heart disease. Sometimes they go in for a knee or a hip, and this is uncovered. So our role is to get them before the team and have them take a look and see what we can do to help them.
Yes. So where, just some basics, where are you located and how can people find you?
We are right here in Greensburg in Medical Commons 3, right across from the Heart Center at Westmoreland Hospital. People can ask their patients can ask their PCP
Okay.
referral, or they can go to independencehealth.com and get connected that way as well, or independence
Perfect.
dot health it is, I think,
Independent
but
of it.
independence health.
And we also receive a lot of referrals from the patient's cardiologist, who necessarily may not be interventional cardiologist, but the community cardiologist to see the patients and they find a structural heart problem, they will send us a reference.
Right. I mean, I guess when we've talked to the other cardiologists and cardiac surgeons at Independence Health over the last few weeks, they told us a lot about listening to your body, understanding what that chest pain is, not mistaking it for indigestion, right, which is very common. Talked a lot about risk factors, complications, diabetes, salt intake, sugar intake, all of those things, and taking care of your body. And I'm going a little off script when it comes to the questions we have, because we're going to talk about the most common structural heart disorders. But is there a way to listen to your body to know that you may have a structural heart issue, doctor? Is there something that is a telltale sign?
Yes, absolutely. Usually, the symptoms of structural heart disease are shortness of breath, fatigue, getting tired easy. A lot of times, most of times, these disorders are common in older people, and sometimes people think that it is just a part of getting older, just, not doing as much because I'm older. Oftentimes it's not. Oftentimes there is a problem with the heart that is causing these issues. So, yes, if there is a change from what a person can do from their baseline, if they were walking uphill before or walking a couple of miles before and now they cannot do it. And sometimes it's a very gradual progression. So patients may not feel it right away, but if they compare themselves to how they were a year or 2 years ago, then they may notice that this is a big difference. So that's, I think, how one can listen to one's body and understand that maybe something is wrong if they're not able to do as much as before, if the exercise tolerance has reduced, and of course the other symptoms of heart disease, including chest pain, dizziness or lightheadedness, swollen ankles, filling up with fluid around the lungs. Those are the common symptoms of structural heart disease.
Excellent. Great answers. Great information for people. Absolutely. So let's talk about a couple of the most common structural heart disorders. Can you break them down for us?
Yes, the most common structural heart disorders are the valve disorders, and the most common heart valve disorders are aortic stenosis and mitral regurgitation. So aortic stenosis is narrowing of the aortic valve, which is the main valve between the heart and the aorta, kind of the main valve between the main pumping chamber of the heart and the rest of the body. And over as people, as a person gets older, the valve gets degenerated and calcified and doesn't open as it used to. And that is, when it doesn't open, that's when we define it as aortic stenosis. Mitral regurgitation is a leaky valve on the left side of the heart. The mitral valve, which is between the left ventricle, again, the main pumping chamber of the heart, and the left atrium, it is designed to prevent the leak of blood back into the left atrium from the left ventricle. So basically, the role of the mitral valve is to ensure that the blood pumps forward from the left ventricle into the rest of the body and doesn't go back. And for several reasons, the mitral valve can become leaky, and that can cause a problem as well.
What are we looking at in terms of mortality and aortic stenosis? I mean, is it something that can kill you suddenly, or are you noticing this over time? Do people usually catch it? Can you explain that?
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. So b before we before I answer that question, I just would like to emphasize that aortic stenosis is the most common structural heart disease that we see, and it is the most common disease in older people. So the prevalence of aortic stenosis in people more than 75 years or older is around 12.4%, and of them, around 3.4% have severe aortic stenosis, meaning that is the time when they should seek treatment. And yes, when the aortic stenosis becomes severe, it is a serious problem. One of the symptoms of very serious or critical narrowing of the aortic valve is dying suddenly. So sometimes somebody may not have any problems and they may just die suddenly because of that severely narrow aortic valve. And that is rare, but that is certainly a possibility. But anybody who has severe aortic stenosis and they have symptoms that I described before, if left untreated, then the mortality of this condition is 50% at 5 years. And
Wow.
so it is almost like an advanced cancer. If untreated, patients may die within 1 or 2 years. But fortunately, we have good treatment options.
Yeah, I mean, fortunately for sure. I mean, that can lead to sudden death. And it's really important that people know that they can be treated for this at Independence Health, at Westmoreland Hospital in Greensburg. So let's talk about how are you treating aortic stenosis? Is this an interventional procedure? Is this medicine? Is this rehab? Tell us all about that.
Absolutely. So once the aortic valve becomes severely narrow and somebody has symptoms, and sometimes even in people who have a critically narrow aortic valve, and even if they don't have a lot of symptoms because of the reasons I went over earlier, that is the time when we have to do something to replace the valve. And unfortunately, no medicines can reverse this process. So when the time comes, the valve has to be replaced. There is two ways we can replace the valve. One is surgically, with open heart surgery, and the other is a catheter-based treatment called transcatheter aortic valve replacement, or TAVR. And TAVR is what I perform as an interventional cardiologist, and actually we perform it as a heart team, so meaning that I'm an interventional cardiologist and a heart surgeon, we are together in the room when we are doing the TAVR procedure. The way we do the TAVR is we usually do From the femoral artery, which is the big artery in the groin. We put a large bore sheath in the groin, and then we put a wire across the patient's diseased aortic valve and park it in the heart. And then from the sheath in the groin, we take a new valve that we crimp and load on a balloon, pass it from the groin along the wire up that is in the heart. And across the patient's diseased valve, we position it in the right position, and then we blow up the balloon. It will push the old valve to the side, and the new valve will start working away. New valve will start working right away. We obviously don't remove the old valve with the TAVR procedure, but the calcium in the old valve gets pushed to the side, and it forms a scaffold to anchor the new valve in place. It starts working right away.
Wow. Lots of advantages to TAVR. Why don't you talk about that?
The big advantage obviously is there is no incision. It's minimally invasive. Recovery time is faster. And most of our patients, they're up and moving in a few hours and they go home the next day, which is a big advancement in general for the field of medicine that we can do that. So that's the major advantage of TAVR. And the other main advantage is that aortic stenosis, since it's a disease of the elderly, a lot of times when patients are older, they are at higher risk of getting open heart surgery, higher risk of having complications from open heart surgery. So it is great to have this option where we can replace their valves without having to open the chest. Which again enables us to offer this treatment to more and more patients who previously were not getting any treatment for their valve problems.
And like you said, when they're elderly, that risk of opening up their chest for surgery, I mean, some people might not even survive that, right?
That is absolutely correct. That is absolutely correct. There are several factors that obviously go into the determination of whether or what is the risk of open heart surgery, but the main factor is age. So right now, the ACC, the American College of Cardiology, guidelines recommend TAVR as a class one indication, meaning that that's the first choice in anybody with severe aortic stenosis who is 80 years or older, because the outcomes are comparable as good as surgery, and sometimes in higher risk patient population, even better because they're going to have problems with surgery.
What can you tell us about after the TAVR procedure? I mean, do people go back to living a more normal life? Is there rehab and therapy afterward? How does that work?
Again, it's the recovery is faster. They are up and moving the same day sometimes, and they go home the next day. We send a referral to cardiac rehab for all of our cardiac patients. Anybody who has heart failure, valve disease, or even anybody who gets a stent or even gets open heart surgery, they go to a program called cardiac rehab, which is an supervised exercise program. So all our patients get referred to that. But in general, patients are basically some restrictions, obviously, because of the incision, because of the sheath that we put in the groin. We don't want them to lift more than 10 pounds for a week or so. But other than that, most of our patients are back to their baseline activities within a few days, at most within a week.
Paula, why don't you talk about how important this is to offer in Westmoreland County
Oh,
when
for
for
sure.
so many years you had to go to Pittsburgh?
For sure. When this program started in 2021, I recall how happy people were to be able to come to these hospitals and these doctors that they have a relationship with and they have trusted for so long. It's easier for families to come support them when it's close and get them there. It's the ability to get it in your own community is remarkable. And then to add to that, just as Dr. Shaw mentioned, the outcomes are very good, and our programs all report our quality outcomes to national registries, and ours are consistently among the best in the country. So not only are we able to provide this quality, these procedures here close, they're a very, very good outcomes.
And brag about that partnership with that you have with the a cardiac rehab. You love those folks, huh? You and people stay, and then they end up paying on their own to go because they love it so much, cardiac rehab.
Frick at their Frick our small hospital in what in Mount Pleasant. I've been to that cardiac rehab just in other roles, and it's like a gym. They're all there together. They're all having a, it's like a just a community fun time. It's just really an enjoyable experience for people.
It really is. You're listening to Westmoreland Community Connections on WHJB. I'm having an amazing conversation about heart matters with Dr. Niraj Shah and Paula Aiello. She's a care specialist and RN, both of them from Independence Health. This continues our programming, our education during Heart Month. When we come back from the break, we're going to talk more about treatment options for some valve issues that you can have and how you can stay in Westmoreland County for structural heart issues with the Structural Heart Clinic. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Classic Hits 107.1. Listen live at WHJBFM.com.
Welcome back to Westmoreland Community Connections on WHJB. I'm your host, Jennifer Mealy, joined today by Dr. Niraj Shah and Paula Aiello. She is an RN and care specialist for the Structural Heart Program at Independence Health. I really enjoyed talking to you both. This is the third in our series of Heart Matters during Heart Awareness Month in February. Really important for people to understand and be educated on the care and treatment of their heart. I want to go back to the mitral regurgitation a little bit. We talked about aortic stenosis and the TAVR program, which is really important to have. But now let's move on to that mitral regurgitation. And let me see if I can get this right, doctor. From what I listened to and what you explained, the mitral valve makes sure that the blood flows the correct way. And I'm guessing regurgitation means is that some of it is coming back because the valve isn't working correctly.
Yes, absolutely. That is absolutely correct. The mitral valve is the valve between the left ventricle and the left atrium. So it's designed to prevent the blood leaking back into the left atrium, because if that happens, then the pressure in that left atrium increases, which puts back pressure on the lungs. The lungs fill up with fluid. Patients get symptoms of shortness of breath. They cannot lay flat. Their ankles swell up. The mitral valve, unlike the aortic valve, is a more complicated structure. It has several cords that anchor the valve into the heart muscle. It's not only the valve itself that can cause it to become leaky, meaning that if there's a structural problem with the valve, if a cord is damaged or if the valve is damaged, then obviously it can become leaky, but also interaction between the valve and the heart chambers, such as if the left ventricle, which is the main pumping chamber of the heart, becomes weak and enlarged, then it pulls the valve apart. And then the mitral valve leaflets cannot meet in the middle any longer, and that's what causes it to become leaky. Similarly, if the left atrium becomes very enlarged in conditions such as atrial fibrillation, which is again common in older people, that can also pull the mitral valve leaflets apart and cause it to become leaky.
How do you know that something's wrong? Are there symptoms to this?
Yes, symptoms are similar to aortic valve disease, essentially shortness of breath, fatigue, swollen ankles, decreased exercise tolerance, heart failure. Those are the symptoms of having a mitral valve problem.
Okay, and are you treating this with a catheter-based approach? Is this open heart surgery? How does this work?
Yes, mitral valve regurgitation can be treated with a catheter-based approach. It's called MitraClip. It's usually indicated in people who have a structural problem with the mitral valve. Like I described, if there's a broken cord or a damaged leaflet, then the first option of treatment in these people is usually surgery and repairing the valve, because that can give them the best outcomes. But some people cannot get that option, or that option may be high risk for them. And in that case, we can perform this procedure called MitraClip, where we essentially clipped the two leaflets together where it's leaking in the worst part, and the valve stops leaking. The other scenario in which we can perform mitral clip is in patients with heart failure and weak heart muscle who have this problem when the valve is stretched apart and the leaflets cannot meet in the middle. We can perform the mitral clip procedure to clip the two leaflets together in these patients, and it has been shown to improve outcomes, improve mortality, and reduce the hospital visits for heart failure in patients with heart failure and severe mitral regurgitation, who, despite being on medications and getting all treatment that they need for heart failure, still have a leaky valve and still have symptoms. This is another treatment option for them.
How quickly can you recover from these treatments?
Recovery is very fast. I'll just briefly go over how we perform the mitral clip procedure. The patient is under general anesthesia. I go from the vein in the leg, so not the artery this time, the vein, and then perform a transseptal puncture to go from the right atrium on the right side of the heart to the left atrium, and then do the mitral clip procedure. When I'm done, I put a stitch in the groin, which comes out the next day. And again, because it's a vein, it doesn't even bleed as much. And most patients go home the next day. So recovery is much faster. And just like with aortic stenosis, we refer all of our patients to cardiac rehab after.
Wow. It's amazing. And again, you know, I want to stress, Paula, the importance of having this in Westmoreland County and available. I mean, just this technology is amazing, isn't it?
It definitely is. We've come a long way in these last few years, nearly 500 procedures in the past couple of years. And it's just so wonderful to see the successes for folks.
Yeah. And I'm sure there's risks like there is to every procedure, correct?
Yes. Of course. I mean, there is risk to any invasive cardiac procedure. With TAVR, for example, there is about a 3% risk of stroke, 6% risk of patient needing a pacemaker, 1% risk of vascular injury or bleeding. There is also a risk that when we put the TAVR valve, there may be some leak around the valve because we can't sew it in place because this is not surgery. But it is acceptable to have a small amount of leak. If there is a large amount of leak, then there's other solutions that we can think of. But then we try to achieve the best possible outcome, meaning try to leave the patient with as little leak as possible. Similarly, with the mitral clip procedure, the overall risk of major complications is low, when the complications are the same, stroke, bleeding, and the overall risk of major complications with mitral clip is less than 4%.
Wow, wonderful. Paula, do you want to tell us anything else about the Structural Heart Clinic and what's offered there?
Sure. So we work collaboratively with the heart team, as Dr. Shaw mentioned. So the CT surgeons in anesthesia, we have regular calls where every case is reviewed with the whole team for best outcomes. And our role, my role, is to help make this as seamless as possible for people and be a personal contact for anyone who is considering or scheduled for one of these procedures, and to just be very supportive throughout the process.
Well, definitely sounds like a great program. And doctor, I mean, dozens and dozens and now hundreds and hundreds of procedures, structural heart interventions happening at Independence Health. Is that right?
Yes, absolutely. Before I answer that, I would just like to say that Paula has been wonderful in the program, and we could not have done this without her. You know, she just went over her part very quick, but it is very important what she does, coordinating the meetings between the different specialties, getting us together in one room, reviewing each case, making sure nothing falls through the cracks, getting the patients ready and prepped for the procedures. And that has, in a big way, contributed to our excellent outcomes.
Oh, showing the love to each other on Valentine's. That is perfect. That is fantastic. I love that.
But
go ahead. Anything?
coming back to your questions about the number of procedures that we have done here at Independence Health, in 2024, we performed a total of 192 structural heart interventions, and this includes 157 TAVRs. Since we started our TAVR program in 2021, we have performed total 470 of those procedures. We started our MitraClip program in February of 2024, and from February to December of last year, we performed total of 20 MitraClip procedures. We also added other procedures to our box of catheter-based solutions for structural heart. There is a procedure called a PFO closure, which is closing the hole in the heart which connects the right atrium to the left atrium, and that's a solution for young patients who have had a stroke and no obvious reason for a stroke, and they have a PFO. We performed 9 of those procedures last year, and we also perform other procedures like closing. There's one person who had a hole between the right and the left ventricle. We closed that with a plug. We also perform balloon valvuloplasty, meaning in some patients, they just cannot either get a valve or they're just not ready for surgery. We just balloon the valve so that their symptoms can get better. We have done it for both mitral and aortic valves. So that's, those are the kind of procedures that we have done. And like Paula said, it's a big plus to have this solution in our community. Patients don't have to travel to Pittsburgh. Patients are very grateful and very thankful that we can offer them these solutions here.
Doctor, you love your job, huh? Tell us about where you grew up, your education and training.
Thank you. I do love my job. I grew up in India. I did my medical school there, and I came to the United States in 2010. I did most of my training in Northeast, like New York, Philadelphia area. I was at Lehigh Valley Hospital for my cardiology fellowship training. I went to Mount Sinai, New York, for interventional cardiology. And then I was at Lankana Hospital in Philadelphia for structural heart disease. All excellent programs. All of them trained me and made me what I am today. I have been in practice since 2018. Prior to coming here, I was at East Carolina University in Greenville, North Carolina, doing the same thing that I do here. I've been here in Independence Health since December of 2023.
And you just love Greensburg, right? You love this cold weather.
That has been an adjustment.
He's so polite, Paula. He's so polite.
He really is.
That's wonderful. Well, they are certainly blessed to have you. Paula just raves about the technology and the number and type of procedures that you specifically have brought to Greensburg and Westmoreland County. Independence Health is blessed to have you both, and I wish you both a happy Valentine's Day, a happy Heart Month. Wanted to stress to everyone out there that the Structural Heart Clinic is located in Greensburg and Medical Commons 3. The number is 724-832-4735, or you can get a referral from your primary care physician or your cardiologist. So again, we thank you. Visit independence.health and you can learn more about the structural heart program. Dr. Paula, it's been lovely to talk to you.
Thank you very much.
Same here. Thank you very much.
I hope I never need to see you in the hospital, but if I wake up and see your faces, I will be very confident in knowing that the best in the business is working on all of us here in Westmoreland County. You're listening to Westmoreland Community Connections on WHJB. I'm your host, Jennifer Mealy. Thanks for listening.